From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the two leading candidates for the Democratic nomination for Texas governor. We hear from Houston businessman Andrew White and former Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez, who will face Republican incumbent Governor Greg Abbott. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The primary election day is March 6th, and early voting begins on Tuesday, February 20th. Candidates running for their party's nomination are now looking to win support of voters and of donors. In the governor's race, incumbent Greg Abbott isn't facing a serious Republican challenger for the party's nomination. For the Democrats, there are a number of candidates, but two have risen to the top based on their fundraising, Andrew White and Lupe Valdez. We're going to spend some time today talking to both the Democratic candidates, and as we move towards the general election, we'll be keeping an interview invitation open to Governor Abbott. Former Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez joins the program in a few minutes, but first, Houston businessman Andrew White has never run for elected office before. He is the son of former Governor Mark White. He calls himself a common sense Democrat, and I asked him what that means.
A common sense Democrat actually is just that. It's common sense. I think everyone has common sense, and it means you're driven by data and facts. Not by an agenda or emotion or social issues. So for me, that means things like universal background checks for gun buyers. It makes no sense to me that you can buy a gun in a store and get a background check, but you can go to a gun show and not get one. So to me, it's common sense. You should have universal background checks. That's one example.
You say common sense Democrat. Is that opposed to other Democrats who may be what? Wacky?
No, of course not. I'm just emphasizing the fact that our leaders today don't have common sense. They're being driven by social extremist agendas. Governor Abbott is focused on the fringe voters in his primary, and he's not being driven by data and facts. So, for instance, with the bathroom bill, there's zero data that says there's a bathroom problem in Texas, and it's discriminatory. I believe in equal treatment under the law for everybody. A bathroom bill makes no sense whatsoever, but it's being driven by this emotional social agenda that the extremists in his party are following, not by data.
And on your website, you say that you want to bring sanity and reason back to state government. Does that follow along with things like the bathroom bill?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the way to lead our state needs to be by building consensus across the aisle on important issues like education and healthcare. So if you want to look at the data again, education and healthcare make up 70% of our state's budget. 70%. And so instead of worrying about sanctuary cities and tree ordinances, we should be focused and worried about education and healthcare. And here's the data. It's not pretty. In education, we're 43rd in the nation. And we're Texas. You know, we should be the best. So 43rd is unacceptable. Why aren't we spending more time and energy on education and fixing the problems there? In healthcare, we lead the nation with the highest rate of uninsured people, as well as the highest rate of mothers dying in pregnancy. So why isn't our governor focused on those issues? That's my platform. Those two issues, I think, cover up a lot of territory. And if we fix education and fix healthcare, those two things will actually help lower our property taxes.
The conservative Democrat, it's another label that you've applied to yourself. What does that mean, is conservative Democrat?
Well, from a fiscal background, I believe in paying the bills. I believe that when you incur a debt, I don't want to pass on to my children or grandchildren the cost that I've incurred today. That's what I mean. Certainly from a social perspective, I believe in all of the same positions that Democrats believe in, which is equal treatment under the law for everyone. And so I wouldn't apply that label to me on a social issue basis.
But the state government is not allowed to run up a deficit, so that's not happening.
Well, they're passing the buck down from the state level to the county level. So being responsible for that is something that a governor should be doing. So, for instance, with education, just a few years ago, the state paid for almost 50% of the bill for our kids' education. And today it's about 38%. Someone's got to pay for it. And so they're just passing the buck down to the county level on health care. Same thing's been happening. Governor Abbott refused to expand Medicaid, in which case people still have to take indigent care. And so the counties end up stuck with the bill. Those two explanations are the reason why our property tax bills have been going up and up and up and up. Governor Abbott is focused on cutting off the growth in property tax bills with his new 2.5% cap. That's not going to fix the problem. The problem is why it's going up, and that's because the state's been shirking its responsibility in those two categories.
So Medicaid expansion, that would be something that if you were elected governor that you would be working towards?
Absolutely. It's it's a $6 billion a year number that we can put into our healthcare system. And that's a big number with a $100 billion budget. Governor Abbott's been afraid to expand Medicaid because it would make him look like he's associated with Obamacare. There's a lot of Republican governors around the nation who would disagree with Obamacare, but they're still taking the money. It's our money. It's our tax dollars. It's silly not to take that money and use it for our health care. People are suffering and they need that care. And like I said before, the county hospitals actually have to pay for it anyway. But he's making some strange political point by not doing this, in which case we're all essentially paying twice for health care in Texas. It's just dumb.
Do you think that by expanding Medicaid that we would be able to take on some of these issues that you mentioned, like the maternal mortality, the high infant mortality that we have in the state?
That is exactly right. I mean, it takes money to do these things. Without that money, we're playing defense as opposed to playing offense.
Now, your father, former governor, Mark White, he was an education reformer. People might remember him for No Pass, No Play. Is education reform in your plan?
Absolutely. For me, education is fundamental. A great education starts with a great teacher. We all know that. We've all had great teachers in our lives. And so Texas right now is paying thousands of dollars below the national average for teachers. Thousands. So a great way to fix your education system is to attract and retain the best teachers. So I'm putting together a plan where I will give teachers a $5,000 pay increase. And I'll pay for that by closing a $5 billion property tax loophole that only benefits out-of-state or mostly benefits out-of-state property, commercial property owners. This raise will help us improve education at the most fundamental level, the teacher-student level.
Now, there is a kerfuffle happening in the race about you and your position on Roe v. Wade, the legalized abortion in the United States. And some people have accused you of being soft on keeping abortion legal.
Well, I disagree. I support Roe v. Wade 100%, and it's the law of the land. We just celebrated the 45-year anniversary of that. I do take the Joe Biden, Tim Kaine approach, where it's a choice that my wife and I wouldn't make, but that's my personal choice, and I'm happy to give that choice to anyone else to make. It's not something that I'm going to enforce on others. And I'll go one step further and say that when I'm governor, I'll veto any of this legislation that's been coming out that limits a woman's right to choose.
So we hear frequently from Joe Biden and candidates that they want abortion to be safe, available, and rare.
Safe, legal, and rare. And how do you make abortion rare? I think both sides are interested in that. And to me, that means making an actual, real effort to increase access to contraceptives and to have comprehensive sex education available to children. There is a large number of schools in Texas that don't even offer sex education. Now, it's just, to me, it's bizarre. So we have to make these investments. If you really are serious about reducing the demand for abortion, there's some really simple ways to do that. Sex education and access to contraceptives.
There's another candidate who's attracting attention in a Democratic primary for governor, and that would be Lupe Valdez. And so what are your thoughts?
Well, I've enjoyed getting to know her on the campaign trail. I definitely appreciate her public service. She's been a sheriff for quite a long time in Dallas. But you know, my message is not a message against her by any stretch. My message is a message for the 28 million Texans that says we need to get serious about education and health care. We need to limit the extremism that's happening in our state and stop it by bringing back sanity and reason to our state so that Texans can have hope again. And I believe that that message will resonate. And ultimately, the decision that's being made in this primary is which candidate is the best candidate to beat Greg Abbott in November. And I believe I have the best chance of beating Greg Abbott.
Greg Abbott, the incumbent, has over $40 million in his war chest. That means he can buy a lot of airtime and do a lot to define his opposing candidate, whoever that might be. How would you be able to counter that? I mean, it's going to be tough to come up with that much money.
Yes. He obviously has a huge head start, and you have to be realistic about that. But things are different. Hillary Clinton outspent Donald Trump 2-1. And we saw how that worked out. So things are different today. I can raise money. I just in the first filing period, I raised 4 times as much money as my next opponent. And we will get serious about raising the money that we need to win this thing. But I get it. It's a David and Goliath scenario. We're outmanned, outgunned, and outraised with Greg Abbott at this point. But don't forget, David won that fight.
In order to beat someone like Greg Abbott and the establishment in Texas, the candidate is going to have to be someone who captures the imagination of Texans, excites the base, and is able to tap into free media, which is like get on the news like every night. How is that you?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think people are tired of the Donald Trump, Greg Abbott, Dan Patrick craziness. They're tired of the politicians who are playing these games. I mean, just games with our state and with our future. They want somebody who, as my dad would say, he would quote Sam Houston all the time, and Sam Houston's famous quote, do right and risk the consequences. They're looking for leaders who will do right. And, you know, as a 20-year entrepreneur, I've never thought about being in politics, never been interested in politics. When my father passed away a few months ago, at his funeral, people came up to me over and over again and told me how when my father was governor of Texas in the 1980s, he made the tough decisions to make Texas better. Decisions like no pass, no play, higher teacher salaries, lower class sizes, the seatbelt law. And it hit me because at that exact same time as my dad's funeral a few months ago, Greg Abbott had called a special session for a bathroom bill. And then a few weeks later, Harvey happened. And a third of the state was underwater. I was in a boat. I had a small boat, and I was there for 5 days pulling people out of the water. Saw some amazing sights. I saw what makes Texas great. But I realized that we have leaders who are just playing politics with our future. We have leaders who care more about their reelection than our kids' education. And so I decided it was time to step up and get involved. And so that's why I'm here. I'm here to serve my state. So how do you get the attention? I think people are ready for that type of leader. They're ready for someone to put the games aside and make the hard choices to make Texas better.
So you're running for governor, and you probably have commissioned polls, and you're looking at the data. You say you're a data guy. Is there a blue wave coming? Are you able to see something like that in your numbers?
Yeah. So let me just say the obvious number is 4 million Texans voted for Hillary Clinton last year. And in Greg Abbott's election 3 years ago, he won with 2.8 million votes. So I think those Hillary Clinton voters are angry. And people, when they're angry, they're motivated to vote. And not just for the angry in November 2016, but what we've seen the past year with the Twitter meltdowns and the Russian investigations and race riots and everything that's going on at the national level is, I think, going to continue to motivate people to come out. People talk about what's the get out the vote strategy. My get out the vote strategy is simple. Just let Donald Trump keep tweeting and Texans will get angrier and angrier because Greg Abbott, Dan Patrick, and Donald Trump all come from the same school of, you know, Trump school of government. So they take that same approach where they're focused on the extremists.
That was Andrew White, a Houston businessman and a candidate for the Democratic nomination for governor. This is his first run for political office, but he is the top fundraiser among the Democratic candidates. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Up next, Lupe Valdez is the former sheriff for Dallas County. She resigned from that elected law enforcement position to make this run for the nomination. I asked her what motivated her to make that move and jump into the statewide race.
I was listening a lot to the last session. It was painful. There was a lot of stuff that was being done that felt that it was very selfish. I'm a strong believer in the two-party system, but I think when the balance leans too much toward one side, you end up doing things that are not healthy and not good for the whole. And so listening to the last session felt as if a lot of the intention was to bring discord and to hurt instead of bringing people together.
When did you say I need to run for governor? This is I can't abide.
My whole life has been either do something or shut up, and I think I got very much to that point when I kept listening and to a lot of things and people complaining. There was every time you went to a dinner or even at lunch when I sat with some folks, they would complain about the stuff that was going on and. It was just to the point of you either do something or you don't say anything. Just either do something or shut up. And I really felt that I should do something. But I'll tell you, and I have told this a couple of times, the thing that broke the camel's back, the straw that broke the camel's back, was I picked up a newspaper, and on the front was a little child. I assume it was a transgender child. I don't know. But there was a little child, and they had their arms around the leg of what I assumed was their guardian, male or female. I have no idea. But the camera just zoomed in on the child that was grabbing the leg, and the look on their face was of tears and pain and hurt. And I remember looking at that and saying, what are we doing to our children instead of helping them assimilate into life, instead of helping them to develop a better life? We are causing them fear and pain, and this is not what legislation should be about. This is not what we're supposed to be doing to our children. We should be caring for everybody as much as possible. I'm not a Pollyanna. I know there will be situations that you can't take care of, but things that you can't, legislation should not be about causing harm. It should be about trying to do as much as possible to help the people of your state. And I did not feel that was happening. And it was just too painful to sit there and watch that.
Lupe Valdez, there's been a lot of titles that are applied to you. You've worn over the years. One of them is a migrant farm worker, U.S. Army captain, a federal agent, a successful sheriff for Dallas County. But there's also the title of gay Latina. And maybe for some voters, are we concerned that that's the only title that they're going to see and they're not going to look at that in a positive light?
You know, the people that will only see that title are the people that were not affected at all by the look on that child's face. For those people, I'm sorry. I will be fair and honest, but those are not the people that I'm excited about having them come out to vote and do something better for Texas. This is a neat state. The opportunity for us should be as big as the Texas sky, and we should be trying to help as many people as we can get that. I know we'll have differences. I know there will be challenges. I know there will be problems. But what we need to continue to do is come to the table and work together to try and solve these issues not distancing ourselves and causing harm to some. And the people who put up the tiles are not the people that I'm excited about getting to the polls. I think there are more good people in Texas than there are people that will complain about ethnic group or sexuality. I'm a strong believer that there's a lot more good people out there that don't care about things like that, but will care about what you will bring to the table.
These different titles do kind of layer out an interesting narrative about your life. The first one being the migrant farm worker, and then all the way up to becoming the sheriff in Dallas County. Can you give me how, you know, quickly, it would be a long story, I'm sure, and a great one to hear. But for our listeners, talk us how you got from where you found yourself as a little child to where you are today.
It's always educate to elevate, always. And all along the way, there was somebody encouraging me or helping me. And that has always been the situation. And that's what I think Texas should be doing. All along the way, from the little snotty-nosed kid on the dirty fields to the sheriff of Dallas, Texas, there's been an urge to do better, and someone and people along the way to help you get there. A lot of it is, you know, you have the individual has to work at it, and the individual has to work hard. But there should always be opportunities. And that's why, that's another reason I'm running for governor. There should be opportunities for people in these situations to be able to get out of that if they go after the opportunities.
On your website, you talk about a governor has the duty to set a vision for Texas. What is your vision for Texas?
I think we just went over a lot of that. A Texas should be the type of state that has an opportunity for all who want to do better. I know there will be people who will not make any kind of effort. I know there will be disagreements. When I was the sheriff, it was even hard to get six chiefs to agree on where we're going to lunch. I know it will be hard for those of us that have differences to come to the table, but the vision should be that we will work together to make Texas better and to provide opportunities for as many as possible.
Looking on your website, also, you have a list of issues that you're going to be working on, healthcare, mm-hmm. jobs and economy, education, water, and transportation. So it's interesting what you don't have on this list. And the first one that I thought about is, why isn't crime and public safety on this list, given your record as a sheriff? That would be something that you probably would know something about.
Of course there is, and there's plenty of that. But these are the things that will help for us to have a better community. If you have a good community, crime goes down. If you have jobs, if you have opportunity, I've always said, as a law enforcement person, the majority of the people that are in jail, if they had a decent job and a different environment, they would never come back. And this is the layout of the whole state. It's opportunity, jobs, education, healthcare. If you have that, there's not as much tendency to turn to crime. And yes, I can be quite knowledgeable in those areas. But we want to do the things that will bring interest to the whole and not just to some folks. There's a lot of communities that crime is very low, especially in the rural areas and some other areas. The crime is very low. And so that's not an interest to the whole state. We need to find things that are interest to the whole state. And, of course, safety and security and crime prevention is an interest, but it isn't as big a need in some areas as it is in others. The urban areas are doing quite well in taking care of some of their issues. I don't know a single police chief or sheriff in the urban areas that aren't constantly working at taking care of those issues. And that's another situation. I believe a lot of those issues that can be taken care of by the local area should be left up to them, and it's not for us to tell them how to do their business if they're doing it well.
Political watchers are saying that the Democratic nomination is up between you, Lupe Valdez, and also Houston businessman Andrew White. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about your opponent.
Well, you know, I'm never going to say anything bad about another Democrat. And honestly, I'd rather not say anything bad about anybody. But, of course, we both think we're the candidate. And of course, I'm going to say the same thing. He's a great guy. I'm sure he has a lot of talents, but I'm the one who can bring Texas together, and I'm the one that will help the common sense get back into government. And it has been said that it's between me and him, but of course, I'm going to say that I'm the better candidate because of my experience. I've been elected and reelected 4 times. I've managed over 2,500 people, and I have the 7th largest department in the United States. And my budget was from $140 million to $143 million. I have the experience to carry out the task that needs to be carried out. And I have the experience of bringing people together that are on opposite sides and come out with some conclusions. Why wouldn't that make for good government? And of course, I would say that I would be the one.
If you're successful in the Democratic primary, you go against the incumbent governor, Greg Abbott. He's got a war chest in the tens of millions. He's able to buy ads all over the state. Money is not as easily available for you. So how are you going to deal with that?
There's several things that I'd like to say on that. First of all, where is the money coming from and what are they expecting from that? I can assure you that my $50, $200, $250, $500 donations are not going to expect very many favors from me. The only thing I can give you for your donation is good government. And I think we're going to put out that message. Well, I know I shouldn't say anything. We're going to put out that message. You know, good government is not bought. Good government is earned. And we go out and earn the votes of the people to bring good government.
That was Lupe Valdez. She resigned as the Dallas County Sheriff in December to run for the Democratic nomination for Texas governor. Earlier, we heard from Houston businessman Andrew White, who is also seeking that nomination. Early voting for the party primaries begins on February 20th. Primary election day is March 6th. Whoever secures the Democratic Party nomination for governor will face the Republican candidate, incumbent Greg Abbott, in the general election. That's on November the 6th. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You could also comment on our show page on our website at tpr.org. And that's where you can listen to past Texas Matters programs, and you can find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.